Merry Christmas. You guys are so good at that. For everybody on our online campus, welcome. So glad you're joining us today. You're amazing. You're from all over the place, and I'm so glad that you're here. For everybody that's attending today, whether online or in service, if you brought your Bibles, I'd like you to get your Bibles out. Maybe turn them on, get your phone out. If you didn't, don't worry about it. It's going to be up here on the screen. But we're going to look at some scripture today, and we're going to go to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew is the first book of the New Testament, and then 24 is in between 23 and 25. And then we're gonna be a little bit further down in there, but we'll get to that in a minute. Let me just talk to everybody on our online campus and you guys. We've been mentioning a lot this end of the year. This is the end of the year letter to God. This Christmas New Year's letter to God. On December 31st, we're going to meet here at 10 a.m. and we're all going to have a pre-written letter to God in an envelope that's self-addressed. Okay, so you got to fill out the address that you would like for this to be mailed back to you. Okay, preferably your address. Okay, and stamped envelope. Okay, This is your letter to God on all the things that we're asking you to be honest with Him, be brave, pray, talk, get a pre-idea of what you want to say, and don't be bashful. Because the very thing that you may think, should I put this in my letter, it could be the very thing that needs to be in your letter. And my promise to you is this, I'm not going to read it. Okay, I promise I won't read it, but it'll sit in my office for 1 year, and the next year, 2025, that's hard to believe, isn't it? 2025, I will go to the mailbox, and I will put your letter in that mailbox, and it will be mailed directly to where you ever have that address. And this is one of the coolest things, and who knows what God's going to do, but you're going to get that letter back, and I'll tell you this, God will read that letter. And it's not a Santa Claus letter. We're not trying to get new Legos. We're not trying to get better Star Wars toys. We're writing a heartfelt letter to God on the things that may just be about giving up on. But what if? But what if? And if you're on our online campus, do me a favor. Write your letter to God, okay? Put it in the same envelope, same stamp, the whole deal. But stick it in another envelope and mail it to Cowboy Junction in care of Ty Bean. When I open it up, I'll see your envelope there. I'll know exactly what it is. And it'll be put with everybody else's. And on that day, I'll mail it and it'll show up in your mailbox. And that's how much we love our online campus. We're so glad you're here. So that's a big deal. Can you guys help me welcome everybody on our online campus? Now today is the Christmas season, and we're wrapping up this series called The Great Christmas Rescue. And in it, we are in a season called Advent. And Advent is an amazing time of year where we stop and pause. And maybe you came from a home where Advent was a tradition. Maybe you come from a church where Advent was a tradition. But there's four key parts of Advent that we have to lean into. Advent is reminding us of the hope that we have in the arrival of our Savior, the hope that we have, also the peace that is provided, the joy that comes with this season, and love that we all get to experience from a God that so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. This time of year, we stop and we celebrate the arrival of our Savior who came in child form and lived with us and talked with us. And the hope that we have and the peace that we have and the joy that we have and the love that we have. But in Advent, it's not all about Christmas. Advent is also the celebration of the arrival of the second coming of Christ, the return of our Lord, the one that now rides on the back of a white horse. And we like that part. That's a cool part. We love as a cowboy church that our Savior's coming back on a horse. And my favorite horse was a gray horse, but that's close to white, okay? And old Isaiah, that was my old roping horse. I always thought, man, if you're going to do it right. I could never find a white horse, so I stuck with a gray one. Oh, why did I tell you people all those things? Man. But Advent, on the second coming of our Lord, is still the same thing. The hope that we have in the coming of our Savior. The peace that we have in the middle of it all. We know that there is a home for us, and our Savior is coming again. The joy that we have to celebrate that we serve the risen Savior. That when he came as a child, but the second time he comes back as the glorious warrior Jesus that he is. And then the love that the church of God is supposed to have, to remember that we can share the greatest story ever told to those who don't know. And to kick off today, I want you to go to Matthew chapter 24, verse 30. And I'm going to read this, and I want you to lean into it. And sometimes this kind of stuff makes you nervous. Remember, okay? Don't forget. We are celebrating the coming of our Lord again. And there is hope, there is peace, there is joy, and there is love. And it says this. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. This is Jesus speaking. And then all of the tribes of earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great joy, great glory. And he will send his angels with a great cloud of a trumpet, great sound of a trumpet. And they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. But on that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two men will be in the field, and one will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and the other left. Watch, therefore. For you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. And now I'd like for you to turn the page, Matthew chapter 25, verse 31. And when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. He will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Remember, Advent is the celebration of the coming of the Messiah. And it's also the celebration of the hope, of the peace, of the joy and the love that we have for the second coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Would you join me in prayer? Father God, we love you. We thank you for all that you are, everything you were, everything you are, and everything you will be. Jesus, we embrace you as Savior and King. And Holy Spirit, we invite you here as the presence of God, living in each one of us that know you, and stirring the hearts of those who don't know you. And I pray that you would be welcome here today. We celebrate your advent, both what you did and what you're going to do and what you're doing right now. So Holy Spirit, would you lead me as I speak your word today? We love you, we trust you. It's in Jesus' name we pray, amen. We're in this series called The Great Christmas Rescue. Over the last several weeks, we've been looking at different rescue scenarios to see how we would respond, and then shifting them into a spiritual parable, if you will, to also see how we would respond spiritually. Today, I want to start the message off with a story. Anybody want to hear a story?
Yes.
Well, good. I'm glad you do. And even if you don't, you're going to hear it. My favorite rescue story in church came from a man by the name of Ed Young Jr. It so provoked me, it so stirred my heart, and it caused so much of the scales of just layers of callousness to fall off of my eyes. It caused me to wake up, and today I want to share this story with you. It's a true story. It's not my story. It's Ed Young's story, but I think it's so perfect for where we are in this series. And the story goes like this. Ed Young, if you know him, is a fly fisherman. That's why I like the dude so much. He loves to saltwater fly fish, and it's not unusual for him to go after tarpon. Tarpon are this huge, aggressive saltwater fish that really for fishermen, it's an amazing target fish to put on your repertoire, okay? So what makes it even more difficult for guys like Ed Young and myself is it's a great saltwater fly fishing trophy as well. If you can get a tarpon with a fly rod, these are huge, monstrous fly rods with great big saltwater reels on them. And the story is that Ed Young went out one day with a fishing guide to go try to get a tarpon on a fly rod. And they were out fishing one day and over by Florida, and he was stripping line, and all of a sudden his guide says, "Hey Ed, what is going on over there?" And way off in the distance, way too far to yell or holler or hear any noise, they could see a boat just drifting, but nobody was on it. And as they leaned in closer and began to squint and look and pay attention, every now and then they would see a big splash of water behind the boat. So the guy just drops everything, goes to his bag, pulls out his binoculars, gets back up onto the captain's platform that's on top of the ship, the little boat, and looks out to find that no one was in the boat, but behind the boat, there was a man trying to paddle as fast as he could to catch up with his boat that was drifting away from him because of the current. And as hard as he swam, as hard as he paddled, he never could catch up with his boat. So they begin to put everything up. But about the point to where everything was about up, and they're about to start the motor on the boat, fortunately, because they were around Miami, a big yacht started headed towards this man who was in trouble. And so instantly they stopped everything, and the guide said, "Oh, they're going to run right into him, and they're going to go straight to him. Well, this is great." And the man even began to pop out of the water and wave at the yacht. Now the yacht, according to Ed, was kind of an interesting scenario as well, because even from where they were, they could hear the party going on in the yacht. Yeah, did you like that? That was good how I did that, huh? Boots and cats and boots and cats and boots and cats. That's about as cool as it gets right there, kids. Yep. And so they knew, surely they're going to see this man in trouble. But to their surprise, because of the party that was going on the yacht, no one was looking for anybody in trouble. Everybody was doing their thing. Everybody was wrapped up in their party. Ed said that everyone had a bathing suit on, and you couldn't even call it a bathing suit because you could probably just say it was pieces of cotton taped on in certain parts. But they went right past the empty boat and the man fighting for his life. And Ed said, we were waving at the boat and people saw them and they began to wave back. And Ed said, no. And they'd go, hi. And he'd go, come over here. And they'd say, no, come over here. And he said, as much as they yelled and hollered and pointed, they were not paying attention to the rescue that needed to take place. And so the guide knew exactly what was happening, fired up the boat, saw that there was absolutely no way this guy was going to get rescued, gunned the boat, headed straight towards him, and as he cuts the motor back, the man goes under. The guide runs to the front of the boat, takes a diving leap, dives into the ocean, and grabs the guy and pulls him up to the surface. If they'd have been there just a little bit longer, he wouldn't have made it. And they rescued the guy, got him onto the boat, found out for the last 20 minutes something happened. He took a misstep. He fell off the boat. It was going to be easy to swim to the boat. But as he swam to the boat, the wind and the current kept pushing it further away. He'd been in the water for 20 minutes. He finally reached the point he couldn't swim any second longer. And if they wouldn't have showed up, all they would have found was an empty boat. Now, this is the part where Ed Young stopped and he turned to the whole congregation. And I remember I was sitting there thinking, what a horrible way to die. Thank God they were there. What idiots in the yacht. But Ed said, as I was driving home that day, it was as if the Holy Spirit just turned and said, Ed, this is what it's like in the church today. We're so focused on ourselves. We're in our own little parties. Everyone is doing their thing. People are warning. My people are telling them there's someone needs help. Someone needs help. And along the way, we think they're given a sign language and they want to join the party and have fun. And they don't realize they could be standing next to someone that needs them. And we're either paying attention or we're only focused on ourselves. And this is where I wanted to go today. Because this time of year gives us a moment to celebrate what Jesus did. He came and became the Lamb of God for us, and salvation is available to the world. But the reality is that Advent, this time of year, is also the warning that Jesus is coming back. And it awakens every one of us to the reality of what really is reality. And it also wakes us up to the mission that every one of us believers are on. For those that may not be Jesus followers in the room, I want you to know, and I want you to hear this from me, and this isn't a microphone standing on a podium thing. This is if I had a chance to look you in the eyes, to stand right across from you, to turn to you and have coffee with you, the one thing that I would bring up, because it is my most important mission in life, is to ask you if you know Jesus Christ. Do you know that he's real? And if you don't, if you question his resurrection, let's talk about it. Let's open the Bible together and let's look at this story, because it's not just a story. It's the evidence that I can show you. Would you have acted like that if you were a disciple? Would you have, you know how many Jesus followers there were when he died? Zero. So what changed everything? It was the resurrection. The resurrection changed everything. And I want you to see that these people went from not believing in Jesus to then believing in Jesus all over again. And what did it? What did it for me when I read this? Look at this. And then John jumps out and says, and I write you these stories so that you now can believe. And Luke writes this, so that you can have evidence to weigh out in your heart if you believe that Jesus truly rose from the dead. And if Jesus rose from the dead and your heart says, I can't deny it, he really did, I believe Jesus rose from the dead, then what's the next step? Choosing Jesus as your Savior. It's not a church thing or a pastor thing. It's a real thing. And the reason why it's important to me is because someone cared about me enough to tell me about Jesus. And it's my most favorite thing in the world to talk about. So both to the saint and the sinner in the room, it is for us to wake up and realize, number one, not only did he come, but Advent is a reminder that Christ is coming again. A glorious trumpet sound, a wonderful Savior coming back on a white horse to rescue, to redeem, to get us back to the original plan that God had from the very beginning. And the church has a mission. It's a moment that the first thing we have to realize in Christ's return is that he is also telling us to be prepared. Because you're going to find that all throughout that portion we just read, Matthew chapter 24 and chapter 25, there's these little parables in it. And these parables are these keep in mind moments in between the resurrection of Christ and his return. And he's talking to his people. He's talking to his family. And in it, there's an amazing little parable of don't be unprepared. Because the reality, we can all get a little lazy. We can all get a little calloused. We can all look at 2,000 years from when this amazing story of Jesus took place to today. But Jesus gives this warning. He says, listen, you're going to want to just kind of get comfortable. But you are only alive for a season. And you don't know what season I'm coming back. Only my Father knows. Don't lose sight of the most important things and keep your lamps trimmed and oil ready. This is a way of saying in the middle of the night, you need to be prepared. I know today we think prep. But Jesus is saying, no, this isn't a lamp, this isn't a light. I'm going to use an illustration. Your heart needs to be always prepared with the absolute most important things on the front burner. Before I make any decision, I ask myself, is this really the plan God has for my life? And because I always need to be prepared. I need to have my heart tender. I need to have my spirit ready. I need to be dialed into the voice of the Lord, and I need to be prepared. And Jesus says, once upon a time, there was 10 brides who were looking forward to the groom coming. But there was 5 wise and there was 5 foolish. And the foolish ones just kind of said, he's going to come, and it's been such a long time. I'm going to go do such and such and such and such and such and such. And their oil ran dry. But not the wise ones. The wise ones said, he said he was coming, and I will always be ready for him. And they kept their oil up, and they kept their wicks trimmed, and they stayed prepared. And so in the middle of the night when he came, they were ready. He says this. Right in the middle of what we just read. Now there were 5 of them that were wise, there were 5 that were foolish, and those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took the oil in their vessels with their lamps. And Advent And a part of this truly being a great Christmas rescue is the bride of Christ, which is us, the church, cannot get lazy in a, such a time as this moment as today. Yeah. Let me ask you, if I turned to you and said, what does it cost to follow Jesus? And I turned to you and said, it costs everything. Does that scare you? When I say it costs everything, I'm looking at the eternal value. 10,000 years from now, when you're standing in the glory of God, are you going to look back and ask what things cost on this earth? Are you going to look back and really care what time was? When we are called to always be ready. That we were born in such a time as this moment, and to hear our Father say, that's what I'm talking about, kiddo. Good job. Jesus is coming back, and to be prepared is so important, but to also realize that he's given every one of us talents. Talents and abilities, skills, gifts from God, things you can do I can't do, but things I can do that you can do that you can't do, all for the advancement of the kingdom of God. Listen, there's some people in this room that, man, you can't fix a vehicle. I had a crazy thing happen the other day. I had a lady that ran out of gas, so I she was here at the church. I went and got diesel. She needed diesel. Went out there, picked her up. We went to her car, okay? And this is kind of funny because the other day I made a big deal about people scoot over when you see someone pulled over, okay? You got to move over. So here I am with hazards flashing, okay, as I'm pouring diesel into her vehicle, and she's parked so where I'm standing on the Lovington-Hobbs Highway at 7 o'clock at night. Now, it's for the starters, I didn't get the nozzle in the right spot, so the wind is spraying diesel all over the place. I ruined a cowboy hat, but thank God I had my white cowboy hat because I'm now filling her vehicle up, waving at cars that are in this lane. And it was a shocker how many people saw flashing lights but just didn't think it applied to them. Wow. Your pastor was cussing. Yeah. And if I find out it was one of you suckers that wouldn't move over, I'll cuss you out right now. I was waving my hat, just hollering at the top of my, you better scoot over, you son of Jesus. Some of y'all don't think that's funny. I thought I was scared. I had to get this guy over. There was, and I counted them, 12 vehicles in the time span of putting 5 gallons of diesel in this lady's truck that I'm waving at, trying to get them to school. They see the flashing lights. My headlights are hitting me. They can see my white hat, and they still don't think it applies to them. Man, I was all puckered up and everything trying to fill this lady up. Can I turn to the church and tell you there's going to be moments that you think, if only I felt like I made a difference. But you just made a difference for that lady. You just made a difference for that person that God made put in your life. And for us to use our giftings and talents is so crucial, because Jesus in this 24 and 25 chapter, he says, there's gonna be a master who leaves, but he says he's gonna come back. And he put his servants in charge, each according to their own ability. Some had 5, some had 2. One guy had only one thing he could do. But everybody was in charge of just doing whatever it is that the Lord left you in charge of. And that is your job. That is your responsibility, because the Lord will return one day. The master of the house will return one day. And he will say, well done, those with five. You used your five giftings, now I give you 10. Well done, you two. You took the two. I'm going to now give you 4. But to the one, he was fearful. And he dug a hole and he buried his giftings and talents. And the master said, what did you do? And he said, I didn't want to lose it. I was scared. I knew you were a difficult master. And so I didn't want to lose what you gave me. And the master was mad because it wasn't yours to save. It was his who entrusted you with it. Be a good steward, for you're only given this season of your life in this season of your life. Give God your best. And there's a few things that wake me up from time to time. I have to have a conversation with myself when I get scared or intimidated. And I think of things like this. Tybean, you got to remember, if you use your gifts, no matter how small or large, the master will reward you. And he'll reward you with more influence, more connections. He will reward you with a great reputation. People will begin to come to you to hear your story instead of you having to go to people and tell them your story. This will get easier. You will find leverage because the Lord will say, you were faithful over the little things, and now I will trust you with more things. And this will affect your children's children's children's, and your testimony will be rich and bold and wonderful, and you will hear the master say, well done, my good and faithful servant. And this is half the conversation I have with myself on a weekly basis. But I also turn to myself and say, Tybean, let's be honest. If you don't use your gifts, no matter how small or how large, Tybean, the master will take them away. And this is my conversation with myself, and he should. And he should. Because if the kingdom of God is being held back because of me, being unwilling to do what God's called me to do, then he should give that talent, that gifting, that anointing to somebody else who will be brave enough in their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ to step out and be there for a drowning person. Yeah. So, I'm not being hard on you. I'm showing you the conversation, and maybe you should have the same conversation. Come on, soul. It's time to wake up. Come on, spirit. It's time to get focused. I am ready to lean into the gifting and calling of Christ Jesus on my life because you're only given one life. And I want my one life to be that jewel on a crown to lay before my Father one day and say, it was all for you. You are gifted, talented, successful, smart, intelligent, crafty, big-hearted people. Now is not the time to think somebody else is going to rescue them. Because they could be all about their party. But it takes a moment to shut it down and to do the thing that we need to do. Advent is the celebration of Christ coming again. To be prepared, to be sharp in our talents and to be using our talents, but to also love people. Isn't it interesting? In Matthew chapter 25, 31, and we read it a minute ago, and we'll read it again. He says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, okay? So the return of Christ happens, and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of glory. Hallelujah, how cool is that gonna be? We're all gonna cheer. When Jesus sits on the throne, we're all just gonna go, all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another. As a shepherd will start dividing sheep from goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left. And the king will say to those on his right hand, these are the sheep. He will turn to the sheep and say, come here. You blessed of my father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you before the foundations of the world. And then he says this very interesting thing. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. And I was in prison and you came to me. Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. I wanted to show you something to close today's message. I turn to you and I tell you, be prepared, use your talents, love people, because Jesus is coming soon. But what if I turned to you and told you, you're doing it already? And for those who don't go to church anywhere, those who don't know Jesus, we're going to have a little family discussion, and you're welcome to stay. I just want you to listen to what we're about to talk about. Because you belong to a church body. We pull our resources together in this family of God, and we bless people. In fact, I had the team draw up all the names of the organizations that every year, and this is this year, we support monthly, and at the end of every year, for most of them, we give them like a big Christmas bonus. We like budget monthly, and then if we have extra, we break it up and we give it in a big end of the year offering, okay? And I like to show you the names. Now let me just tell you about the names real quick. These were names that when we looked in our community, when we looked in our nation, and when we looked in our world, we felt like these were the areas that the Holy Spirit said, be faithful there. And the names are gonna pop up, and I'll tell you a little bit about them. Here's the first page. Why Hobbs? Why Hobbs also has a Lovington program as well. But Why Hobbs is an amazing little organization, because you would think in an oil-filled town like Lee County, New Mexico, everybody gets to eat. And what we found was there is hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of kids who in Hobbs alone do not eat a meal on the weekend. Their last meal is on Friday at lunch at their school, and their next meal is Monday at breakfast at their school. And the backpack program, which is Why Hobbs, sends them home with food to prepare so that they can eat on a Saturday and a Sunday. Cowboy Junction assists them also, not only financially, but with the Lee County Beef Program. If you're unaware of the Lee County Beef Program, we get our dairies, our ranchers, our ropers, and then Cowboy Junction processes beef as well. That's what all these cows out here are here for, okay? They will be slaughtered. You can pet them if you want, but they're dead meat, just to let you know, okay? So we love animals at Cowboy Junction. They're delicious, okay? And they go towards 1 pound or 2 pound hamburger tubes, and we send them home with a wide program, Why Hobbs program. Isaiah's Kitchen, the same thing. We provide them hamburger and financially support them monthly as well as an end of the year gift towards them. Lovington Food Coalition, okay, same thing. Sissy's Food Ministry, and this is an amazing organization. She would love to give you a tour. She took our church staff on a tour. She's able to help so many people. Sissy's Food Ministry, CASA of Lee County, Legacy Pregnancy Center, we support them monthly and also at the end of the year, okay? Palmer Drug Abuse Program, what I love about Palmer Drug Abuse Program, not only have we seen them be a blessing for us as a church to plug people into, but they have turned out some of the finest leaders in our church to help in this area, and it's in a wonderful organization. Junction Christian Academy, here's a fun thing. What you see here, okay, in our giving, we pay their electrical bill, we pay all kinds of different stuff, we take care of them, but that's not what this is. They get an end of the year bonus, just a small little bonus for our teachers that we just want to take care of our teachers. And they get a Christmas bonus. And it's just our church's way of saying, we believe that you're more than a teacher. You are a preacher of the gospel to the fifth graders. You're the preacher of the gospel to the third graders. You're the preacher of the gospel to the kindergartners and the demon caster outer as well, okay? And there's probably a fancier name for that, but we bless our teachers. We have missionary families, okay? Overland Missions, also the Zia Park Racetrack, okay? Do you know that we have a chaplain that prays with all the casino workers? We have a chaplain that prays with all the trainers, the jockeys, the grooms in the back. This is a mission field. It's an amazing mission field. Zia Park Racetrack and Chaplaincy. The RTCA is the Racetrack Chaplaincy of America nationwide. Room 453. If you're in this room and you're a part of the Room 453 ministry, would you raise your hand? Okay. These are people who have signed up. There's one room in the hospital in Lovington that they have been assigned, and whoever is in there, that person is praying over that room. And when they are discharged, another person comes in and someone is praying over that room. And Room 453 is our chaplaincy ministry towards the Norley General Hospital. It's amazing, amazing organization. K-Love, because it's positive, it's encouraging, it's, see, look at you guys, that's right. Here's why, because there are people who had never stepped foot in this church, but they can turn their radio on. And several years ago, we just decided that we were gonna partner with K-Love and we support them monthly. Same thing with the Rescue Church, Austin, Texas. How about those guys? Yep, we love those guys, yeah. Manna Outreach has blessed us over the years. They house people, they feed people. When someone needs help, we send them there, Man Outreach. Global Passion is another mission. Life Church YouVersion of the Bible. The number one downloadable Bible app in the world is the YouVersion Bible. And we support them monthly, as well as Master's Commission, the Gideons. The Gideons, no one distributes physical Bibles like the Gideons do, and we support the Gideons. Faith Comes by Hearing is a military distribution of audio Bibles. How about that? And military men and women are distributed these little MP3 players, and they put the earphones on, and wherever they're at, they just hit play, and it just reads the Gospels to them. And we've been a part of that a long time. The Lee County Fair and Rodeo. This may sound weird. I had to pass this. What do y'all think about that, Lee County Fair and Rodeo? Let me tell you what this means. This one particular, if your kid goes to our youth group and shows an animal at the Lee County Fair and Rodeo, or you're just a part of anything, you're part of a 4-H organization, you're a part of FFA, whatever the case may be, we do a $50 add-on to help you with this hard work that you did, okay? Everybody else, like if your kid plays baseball and stuff, we do sponsorships, rodeo sponsorships, we pay for different things, but this is a situation to where if your kid goes to our youth group and they start in 9 years old, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, they're 18 years old, they were showing animals for 10 years, we do $50 towards them every year. And it's our way, because we know you're saving up for college, it's our way for our church to contribute towards your college fund. And that's just something that we do, okay? So there's that. Another page was Lee County Prayer Breakfast. My Power. My Power is such an incredible organization. They're kicking off Boys My Power this year, and we're so excited about that. Expecting Hearts, the Los Angeles Dream Center. Now, I was showing you all of those things, locally, nationally, and worldwide. Now, I'm going to show you the number here in a minute. Don't show it just yet. This is the amount of money for all these organizations distributed in different amounts, different stuff. Most of it's local. This is how much we were able to do this year. We had $200,000 yearly distributed from Kingdom Investments here at Cowboy Junction towards these organizations. And I don't know how you feel about that. Let me tell you, one year we did the Fall Fun Festival here. And when we did the Fall Fun Festival, people had to pay for stuff, but we took all the money and we gave it towards an organization in the community. And that year we chose the Hobbs Boys and Girls Club. And it happened to be the year that a referee made the bad call on a football game at the Hobbs Boys and Girls Club between Lovington and Tatum or something like that. And people lost their ever-loving minds and quit the church because we donated like $1,700 towards the Hobbs Boys and Girls Club. So let me just be honest. There are things that we're going to mess up on year after year. And yes, every year we have to re-examine this list. We look at this list. And you may know something about somebody on this list. And you're like, I wish you hadn't given towards them. Let me just tell you, I would be rather steer on the side of generous as we honor God and be honest that we may not get it right every time. And what you see, the 200,000, is us just simply turning to the Father and saying, God, we're doing this to honor you. Because we live in a time that people need to see the love of Christ. People need to see the love of Christ. And if they hear about the love of Christ, then we can tell them that you are returning. And by you returning, you're going to come for a bride that you can turn and say, you were prepared. You were using your giftings and talents. Okay? And you were operating in love. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Well done. Jesus is coming back. And Advent is a time to remember that we got to start celebrating it. But celebrate it in the form of, God, you've only given me one life. Keep me ready. Show me what you want me to do. And let me never stop loving people. So we're going to sing a song. The team's going to come up. We're going to worship. We're going to sing. But I got this bucket out here. And this bucket is... long time ago, and for those who grew up in church, they called it the benevolence offering. There are people this time of year who just need a little help. They need food. They need their electricity turned on. They need their gas turned on. And this offering is just a little extra, just a little something. And we're going to worship the Lord. But if you would like to do something for somebody, to where we can be a blessing to them. Like Jesus said, you clothed me, you fed me, you visited me in prison, you checked on me. Well, Lord, how do we do this? You did it when you did it to the least of them. You did it to me. And it's just all cash. If you're writing a check, you can write a check to Cowboy Junction, drop it in here. Don't give in the giving stations. This is a little side deal, a little extra thing. But we're going to stand to our feet and we're going to worship the Lord. And if this would help everybody that would come up to me and say, here's $100, just help somebody. Let's just erase that. What if we just took care of it right now? So let's all stand to our feet. And Father, we come to you. And today all over this place, we honor you. We worship you. We love you. We thank you. And you are coming back. And Lord, I pray that you would remove the calluses from our hearts and our heads and our eyes, and that we would see the drowning people that need to be rescued. Yes. Jesus, we can get so wrapped up in our own parties, on our own little yachts. And the reality is we got to wake up because we could be missing the obvious happening right now. Next to us. So Lord, I pray that you would use this, send us the people that we need to be paying attention to. Let us always be the light on the hill. And Father, as we worship you in this last song, if there's anybody in this room that is just carrying a heavy weight and they feel like they're drowning, I pray that as our prayer team comes forward, they would just let us carry this burden for them. I pray for our prayer team right now that you would give them the words of faith to pray. And I pray for those who need prayer that they would have the courage to come to our prayer team and ask, will you pray for me? And I pray that you would move heaven and earth. And I pray that their faith would be stirred. And I pray that you would lead them and guide them and give them the mind of Christ to think what you think, to want what you want, and do what it is you've called them to do. Make the crooked path straight and lead them by still waters. Restore their soul, O Lord. We love you. We praise you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.